entertained and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Earl Ingram.
Clearly, at this point, what is going on in Congress and the importance of the Speaker, that's always been a high-profile position, Sandy. Why can't we get that fixed?
The problem really comes down to the problem we have within the parties. Not only are we highly polarized between parties, but we seem to be highly polarized within party as well.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
.com/BNO for details.
Well, a good get-right game for the Bucks here tonight. Get right, get back. They take care of business against a Raptors team that had handled them the last time they played each other. And a great win for Milwaukee tonight, in spite of the fact they played without Giannis, without Jay Crowder, and in the second half without Marjon Beauchamp. Hopefully Marjon's not out for any significant chunk of time. I don't suspect Giannis will be, but we'll find out all this as we move along here. Reminder, this copyrighted broadcast of the National Basketball Association may not be retransmitted, reproduced, rebroadcast, or otherwise distributed or used in any form without the express written consent of the NBA. We're presented by BMO. They are the official bank of the Bucks. Let's go Bucks! By Jockey. For nearly 150 years, Jockey's been providing comfort and caring for generations of families, because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Shop Jockey.com. By Go Right Way, make us part of your next trip for stress-free service to and from the Milwaukee and Chicago airports. By Bally Sports Wisconsin, the heart of the Milwaukee Bucks fan. By Sargento Cheese, official cheese of the Bucks. By Fradert and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network. By Uline, the shipping and packaging supply specialist. By Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. By Cousin Subs, we believe in better. By Michelob Ultra, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Well, this one was certainly enjoyable for the road team as Milwaukee wins it. Just another night in the NBA. You never know what you're going to get in this wild league. No Giannis, no problem tonight for the Bucks, thanks in large part to 37 points and 13 assists from Damian Lillard. And how about 30 points, a season high for Malik Beasley? Those two were awesome tonight. And the Bucks, 23-pointers. They outscored the Raptors by 33 points from long distance, and that was really the difference in this one. All right, when we come back, Justin Garcia is back in the saddle with us again. Your postgame show straight ahead. We'll have postgame reaction from the head coach and more. That's all straight ahead. This is the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Everywhere you look, from groceries to utilities to gas, prices keep going up. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin can dramatically help lower your energy costs year-round by replacing drafty windows and doors in as little as 6 weeks. And now you can save even more by taking advantage of no interest and no down payment for up to 36 months when you order by November 30th. Set your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Certain restrictions apply. See showroom for details on rents. 11/30/2023.
They say consistency is the key to success. They weren't wrong. So how about grabbing a beer that's consistently smooth, consistently refreshing, and consistently light? You might just find that the road to success can be pretty enjoyable. Michelob Ultra, the perfect balance of taste and refreshment, and only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Michelob Ultra Light Beer, St. Louis, Missouri.
Just like the Milwaukee Bucks, Jockey is proud to call Wisconsin home. Always family-owned, we embrace the core values of family, community, and tradition. Our values hold us to a higher standard that goes beyond making high-quality underwear and apparel. For nearly 150 years, we've been providing comfort and caring for generations of families. Because when you're comfortable, nothing feels better. Jockey. Take 25% off any Jockey.com purchase with code word BUCKS. Exclusions apply.
With NBA League Pass, you get so much game.
Even regular season games?
Yep.
Even some of the in-season tournament?
Mm-hmm.
Can I watch home and away team broadcasts?
Oh, yeah.
Can I watch from my phone while I take a long bath?
Sure.
And if my team wins, can I stand up super fast and splash water everywhere and scream, yes, that's right!
Hey, could we get a normal fan for this commercial? Subscribe at NBA.com/League Pass today. Only select out-of-market games available and local blackout restrictions apply. Additional charges and other conditions may apply. Visit NBA.com/subscriber agreement for full terms and conditions.
Justin Garcia back on the BMO Bucks Radio Network. 128 to 112, the final in Toronto. The Bucks get some revenge on the Raptors and, look, for the most part, looked very, very good in doing so. We're rejoined by Dave Kane for some final thoughts on this one tonight. And Dave, you mentioned just a couple of moments ago, a get right game. Exactly what this felt like, that you got the sense early when this team went on that charge and Damian Lillard just started to erupt and Malik Beasley. Man, this felt long overdue to see this type of offensive outburst from this team.
Yeah, it did. And you know, it really is fascinating to watch the evolution of this group. And I think tonight was a great example of it, just hearing from Damian Lillard just moments ago following this one, what this has been like, this odyssey for him. This was familiar territory for him, being without Giannis tonight. And, you know, he has played his best basketball when he's been the man. So, you know, both of those guys have been the man. And it's not that neither of them is willing to surrender that title. It's just a matter of they don't quite know how to function when they're not in that title. So that's sort of going to be the trick. It's a great problem to have, I guess. Everybody would love to have two stars like that. They need to kind of figure out how to play together, but that's kind of a little bit of the riddle, and I think that becomes very apparent tonight. Watching this yet again, first game that Giannis misses, this is where Dame has probably, well, his best game since the first game when he had 39 points. Maybe I think you make the case this was even a better game because it was start to finish.
The efficiency, too, that, you know, once he hit a couple of those threes, especially that deep one in the early going, he just seemed to build off of it. But we were talking before, too, it wasn't just the shooting. That's obviously great to see because we'd been waiting for some of those shots to fall. But, you know, Damian Lillard, and I know others have talked about this, you think about him as the scorer and the guy that can knock down shots as soon as he crosses midcourt. His playmaking tonight especially and his passing, that is one aspect of his game that may be vastly underrated.
Yeah, the playmaking. I mean, it was just a lot of playmaking. And I think that's something that's grown in his game, too, as he's continued to play. But his ability to get to the line early really set the – it really set the feel of this game that would continue all the way through. Just his ability to get his guys with a ball where they needed it and then ultimately get to the line and get some of those, I guess if you want to call them cheap points, I don't know if he'd call them cheap points because he has to take the physicality
that goes
with it.
I'll let you tell him that it's cheap points.
Yeah, right. But it's points that you can get, yeah, that are just they're points that sometimes can have been tough to come by for this Milwaukee team in the half court. But I thought Milwaukee also did a good job taking care of the ball tonight. That was another area they excelled in. They scored 20 points off 14 turnovers, only committed 13 turnovers of their own, allowing 16 points off of those. So that was another area I thought was much improved. But, you know, when you're going to hit 51% of your threes and you take 39 of them and then you couple that with 20 of 21 from the free throw line, that efficiency shooting-wise – is going to win you a lot of basketball games. And that's kind of what we expected to see some of this season with this offense for Milwaukee, but it hasn't always played out that way, but it certainly did tonight in a place where offense has not always been easy to come by.
Yeah, almost the complete reversal of the script between the last time these two teams matched up when you look at how the Bucks shot the ball versus the Raptors and even that big halftime lead, 23 points. It was 20, 22, something like that, the first time these two teams matching up in favor of the Raptors. So that also long overdue. Malik Beasley, 230 points that he scored tonight. 8 three-pointers. He is just the 11th player in team history to hit 8 or more threes in a game and the 8th time in Malik Beasley's career that he scored 30. So that's another thing. We know he is capable of doing this. You don't expect it every single game, but especially in games when there's no Giannis, you got Damian Lillard and you got Malik Beasley. Those are two guys that have the ability to detonate.
But even when you have Giannis out there, I just think having Beasley is a guy who's a willing shooter who you get the ball in the right place to him. If Giannis sucks him in, he's got two guys to kick it out to that can really hurt you. And if Beasley can, you know, obviously kind of bring that on a regular basis, that's a great weapon to have, whether he's starting or coming off your bench. He's been starting all season long. We'll see where that all goes. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I thought he was great. You know, obviously one area you got to figure out a way to clean up, though, was the rebounding area tonight. The Bucks just got absolutely dominated in the second half. They were actually leading the rebounding battle at halftime, but they end up losing in the game 55-41, and it was 36-17 in favor of Toronto in the second half, where they ended up a season high 26 offensive boards. They had 22 against the Bucks the last time these teams played. So they've set season highs each time they played against Milwaukee, who has not quite been able to figure that part out yet. The rebounding has continued to be a little bit of an issue for this group, who came into this game tonight 27th in offensive rebounding percentage, 24th in defensive rebounding.
Yeah, and look, and obviously part of that is the Raptors missed a lot more shots than the Bucks did in the second half, but still 11 offensive rebounds alone in the third quarter. That was one of the big areas that when you looked at that charge they went on early in the fourth quarter, and I know a couple of times it was still double digits, but it started to get to the point of, is this going to get uncomfortable? That's kind of the one thing we've continued to see. We touched on transition and cleaning that up, but doing a better job on the glass, it's something we've heard Adrian Griffin mention quite a few times, and that's really the thing to circle from tonight.
Yeah, and one of the things, to be fair, is that you are missing Giannis. In that area, you miss him. This is a guy who's coming down with almost 10 rebounds a game. Him not being out there, you knew you were going to be outmatched in some areas, and that's one of the areas where – but, to your point, it's not been isolated. So, you know, it's an area you got to work on. And you were better in the first half, and so, you know. But bottom line, not a whole lot to be upset about. I also love the fact that they – after the Raptors got this thing a little closer, we've seen Milwaukee make some of these games way more interesting than they should be this season. And I love the fact that they made some shots, got to the free throw line after that game, got back to within about 15 points, and did not allow any more oxygen into the room for Toronto as they were starting to make their push.
Last thing, too, we saw Andre Jackson Jr. get the first career start tonight. And, look, I think this is going to be the case for Andre Jackson throughout the year. The box score numbers aren't going to jump off the page, but it's the little things. And when you look at the plus-minus for him, some of those little things, the attention to detail that he brings, is what has really stood out early in the season from the rookie.
Yeah, he in those little things, man, is he good at them. I mean, it's just it's that extra pass. It's that pass that it's like a quarterback, you always say, can he hit him in stride? I think Jackson is a king of hitting guys in stride and putting the ball where they need it. And then his ability to get after loose balls. And it's just, again, positive energy. He's just got a little bit of that Energizer Bunny to him where he just comes out there and he just brings a little spark. So I think, as we said before, you never want to lose somebody, and you certainly don't want to lose Jay Crowder because he had been very good for this team. But, again, he's coming back in January. You hate it for him that he won't get that rhythm that he was starting to build. But I do think it opens the door for you to have a chance to develop some of that younger talent, whether it's, as we've said, Andre Jackson tonight. Marjon Beauchamp makes a good plays here tonight as well, but left the game with the injury. So that's something that you'll have to keep an eye on, too. There's that depth can start to get away from you in a hurry if you're not careful. So, but two guys that you have there, and I think, obviously, that's not only your future, but it could be your present as well here for this group.
Yeah, and I don't want to get him in trouble, but Marjon Beauchamp we did see on social media during halftime saying he'll be fine. So
okay,
hopefully it's nothing serious to your point there. The next time we reconvene, it'll be the in-season tournament. Your level of excitement for that on a scale of 1 to 10 is what, a 12?
Oh, I was going to say 14, but yeah, I'll give you a 12. Let's go. I can't wait to see that. So look, the Hornets court's always nuts anyway.
Yeah.
I have not seen their in-season tournament court. Is it going to be like flashing and pulsating? I don't know.
Yeah, I would imagine there's a lot of teal and or purple involved with it, but I can't.
They don't do subtle down there with their colors.
Uh-huh. No. Look, another game, too, where the transition is going to be tested on Friday night in the in-season tournament against the Charlotte Hornets. Dave, safe travels, and we'll catch up from Charlotte on Friday night.
Okay, look forward to it. Thanks, Justin.
So a 16-point road win for the Bucks tonight in Toronto. Look, we joke about it being a revenge game. this very early. We'll finish that point in a second. Let's head back to Toronto and hear from Adrian Griffin.
It's also 13 assists. What do you see from him? Some of those times where he splits a double team or whatever it might be to find his open teammates.
He's just making the right read. And I know that for some it comes with years of experience, but he's one of the best at it. You know, he reads the bigs. He reads the help. It's almost like you're looking not just at your defender, but, you know, where the help is as well and where the help is coming from. And, I don't want to speak for him, but I'm sure the game slows down for him because he's been doing this so long. And he was terrific. You know, he made the right play, or the best play, I should say. And then to our credit, you know, we shot the ball extremely well tonight.
How important was it for Malik to step up the way he did on the offensive side of things? Especially with, I know other guys reached double figures later, but really it was, if it wasn't Dame, it was Malik being able to kind of keep the flow going offensively.
Well, we needed, every three that he made, even coming out of timeout, I drew up a play for him, and, you know, we needed a bucket. You know, we were kind of floating along there, and they were getting some momentum. So he made a lot of timely shots, and, you know, that's what he's here for. You know, he's an unbelievable shooter, works extremely hard, and he's trying his hardest on the defensive end, and he's giving great effort. And, you know, that's all you can ask for someone like Beast. He's totally bought in, playing hard, trying to take the tough assignments on the defensive end, and you see what he can do when he gets clean looks.
Coach, I know that it's something you have said, that it's something that takes time, but in terms of coaching, what is the next step to make that the chemistry between Giannis and Dame keep progressing on the
just,
floor?
Just practice and film, and in the games, they continue to work it out and build some chemistry with each other. Like I always say, you just can't snap your finger. You know, it takes time, but they've been, the ultimate professionals, and they'll continue to gel, and you can see it forming. And just take these things, take time.
Going back to the chemistry between Dame and Malik, I think Dame assisted on 6 of the 8 threes that Malik made in that game. Just how have you seen their chemistry together as your starting guards?
Again, I think everyone was just so unselfish tonight, and the ball really opt. And when your best player is, he's aggressive, but he's also unselfish, and the ball is moving. And we knew coming in that, you know, they're very long, very athletic, and you're not going to beat them, you know, one-on-one without executing. And so we were able to execute at a high level, and we were able to move the ball, and like I said, you know, we knocked them down tonight. You know, it's one of those nights.
Just knowing the feeling that you had leaving here 2 weeks ago, how does it compare to walking out of the arena tonight?
No, I think the biggest thing is just look at how far our team is coming and continue to work. And I'm a work in progress. Our team is, we continue to put in the work. I thought the last couple of days were great as far as our film session and our attention to detail. And like I said, I'm probably my toughest critic, and you know, after that game here, you know, I think I have to continue to grow. We got to continue to stay positive and continue to, you know, pull for each other. And I thought the spirit of the team, you know, the last couple of days have been terrific.
We may not see you tomorrow. Is there a plan for Chris with this back-to-back? I know you've rested him on the front end, but
we haven't. Honestly, I haven't even thought about it. You know, we'll talk to staff and medical and come up with a plan.
Unrelated to this game or anything connected to it, but I'm doing something on the Pacers' crazy offensive start to start this season, and I know you guys are one of the few teams that have actually got a firsthand glimpse of them so far, and I'm just wondering if you could provide any kind of.
You're talking about the Pacers?
Doing something on their offensive start to the season because the numbers have been absurd, and you guys are one of the few teams that have actually gotten a up-close look at them. I was wondering if you had any kind of kind of intel as to how they're able to do what they've done so far?
Well, they got a terrific, you know, coach, a veteran coach. Carlisle's been around forever. And he got some really, really good players. You know, Halliburton, Hill, you know, all those guys are quick, fast, and they can shoot the ball. They take you off the bounce, and they can shoot the three. And, you know, they play with great pace, and they put a lot of pressure on the defense. You know, I was watching the Indiana and Philly game, and, you know, that was high-powered basketball. You know, there were two heavyweights going back and forth with each other, and you see Indiana has a lot of talent, and they're well coached. So it's not a surprise to me.
Malik said dinner's on you tonight in Toronto.
Hey, after a win, I'll take it.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
Thank you, Coach.
Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin after an impressive win, all things considered here, 128-112, a 16-point road win in Toronto. They do so without Giannis, not a wire-to-wire victory for the Bucks tonight, but they led by as many as 33 points, and the Raptors would not lead again after the Bucks tied the score at 8 apiece on a Chris Middleton three-pointer just over 3 minutes into the game. So Raptors leading this one for basically 3 minutes tonight, and the Bucks take it from there. An impressive victory, especially when you compare this to the first matchup between these two teams. We'll dive into the numbers, get your play of the game, and preview that in-season tournament game as we move into Charlotte to take on the Hornets Friday night. All of that and more after this on the post-game show on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
You receive a diagnosis from a doctor. You feel good about proceeding. You also feel the need for a second opinion. Good for you. The Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network offers and encourages second opinions on medical and procedural next steps. Second opinions can often happen virtually and give you peace of mind about all that is humanly possible. Learn more or request an appointment at frederick.com/second opinion. You receive a diagnosis from a doctor. You feel good about proceeding. You also feel the need for a second opinion. Good for you. The Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin Health Network offers and encourages second opinions on medical and procedural next steps. Second opinions can often happen virtually and give you peace of mind about all that is humanly possible. Learn more or request an appointment at frederick.com/second opinion.
This is Bucks OT.
Takes it into the paint, attacks the rack, sends it down with a grown man dunk. Oh, the Greek Freak, he's eaten now.
A final look at the game and a preview of the next matchup on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Justin Garcia on the BMO Bucks Radio Network as the Bucks take down the Toronto Raptors tonight. 128-112, our final score here in a game offensively dominated by the Bucks backcourt. As Damian Lillard scored 37 points, 24 of those came in the first half. Finished 15 of 16 at the free throw line. Only two free throws attempted in the second half of this game for Dame. He did make them both, by the way. 37 points, 13 assists, but more importantly, 40%. On his three-point attempts, 50% from the field as well at 9 of 18 and 4 of 10 on his threes. This was the exact type of bounce-back game you were looking for from Damian Lillard and really for this Bucks offense. Long overdue that we saw this type of performance on both ends of the floor, frankly, not just the offensive side. 30 points from Malik Beasley. It is just the eighth time in his career he scored 30 or more in a game. We think about Malik Beasley as certainly a capable and willing shooter and a guy that's able to score in bunches, but just the eighth time in his career he scored 30 or more. He made 8 three-pointers. It is just the 11th time in Bucks franchise history that we have seen a player hit 8 or more three-pointers in a game. The last time it happened was Drew Holiday. In this past winter when Drew Holiday did it against the Boston Celtics, but he joins a list of Bucks players, including Tim Thomas, Michael Redd, Bobby Portis, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Brandon Jennings, Drew Holiday, as we mentioned, Carlos Delfino, of course, Ray Allen, who did it four times, and Mike James. That is your list of Bucks players. Now add Malik Beasley to it as well, that have hit eight or more three-pointers in a single game. So you got 67 combined points from that duo of Lillard and Beasley. Chris Middleton played 20 minutes. He scored 11 points, had 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 steals. Andre Jackson Jr. got the start tonight in place of Giannis. Look, if you would have started Bobby Portis, I think we all assumed that's who it was. Your bigs are certainly in a precarious spot now with no Giannis and, of course, no Jay Crowder. So the thinking there, number one, not only reward Andre Jackson Jr. for the play we've seen of late, but also try to save some of those minutes as well so you can have Bobby Portis coming off the bench as your big to replace Brooke Lopez and go from there. So Andre Jackson Jr. gets the first career start, did not score, but he did have 2 rebounds and an assist in this game. And as you know, we talked about with Dave just a couple of moments ago, you continue to see Andre Jackson Jr. do those little things, the attention to detail, and make those little plays, the plays that coaches really salivate over. That is what Andre Jackson Jr. has continued to bring to this team at a high level, albeit in limited minutes. He was +9 in those 17 minutes that he played tonight, despite not scoring the basketball. Brooke Lopez, 10 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 7 blocked shots. Brooke Lopez, in the last 7 games, has now blocked 27 shots. He is looking much, much more comfortable in his role. As for the bench, really one of the only blemishes here was seeing Marjon Beauchamp leave with a right ankle injury. He just played 10 minutes left in the first half, finished with 4 points and a steal and an assist. Joked the Marjon Beauchamp at halftime, active on social media, saying, don't worry, he will be fine. So we'll wait and see what his status is on the injury report for that game Friday in Charlotte against the Hornets. 18 from Bobby Portis with 7 rebounds. And in terms of the other scorers to reach double figures, it was just Cameron Payne who reached 13. The Bucks bench scored 40. The Raptors bench got up to 39 points. And again, Bucks outscored in the paint 52-34. You don't need it, though, when you are +33 on three-pointers. 20 of 39 were the Bucks, 51% from the outside. The Raptors go 9 of 33, very in line with their season averages for both of those numbers. But Toronto did get to the free throw line at a much higher rate, 31 trips. They went 27 of 31. Bucks were 20 of 21 at the free throw line. So really three-point shooting, the efficiency for the Bucks as well. And in the first half especially, they did a tremendous job cleaning up turnovers. They had 3 quick turnovers. First 2 minutes of this game, the Raptors scored 5 points off of those turnovers. Bucks finished the first half with 8 turnovers, and the Raptors had scored just 5 points. So for the final 22 minutes of the half, they did not allow any points off of turnovers. A much, much better job on transition defense for the Bucks. The other spot, other than the issue with Marjon Beauchamp's ankle that we pointed to, that you would circle here once again, was rebounding, as the Raptors got 26 offensive rebounds. They turned those into 24 points. So that was the big driver in what we saw in terms of that comeback from the Raptors late in the second half. Scotty Barnes led Toronto with 29 points, 9 rebounds, and 7 assists. They had 4 of their 5 starters reach double figures. Dennis Schroeder, the only one not to, finished 2 of 9 from the floor and just scored 9 points. Jakob Poeltl with a double-double, 13 points and 11 rebounds. 11 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 rebounds and 5 assists from Pascal Siakam, who only took 9 shots in this game. And rookie Grady Dick took 10 shots, hit 2 of them, finished with 11 points. Precious Achiuwa, the only Raptors player to reach double figures in scoring off the bench, as he finished this one with 11 points. But that was the story for the Raptors offensively. Bucks not only won the game, they also won the opening tip-off, and that scores another $500 for Milwaukee Habitat for Humanity, donated by Sargento. Sargento, the official cheese of the Milwaukee Bucks. And as a reminder, with this win, you also win at Wendy's. After tonight's win, stop by any participating Wisconsin area Wendy's and score yourself a free small Frosty. This offer is only good for 24 hours after each win, so you better act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. And again, ball movement, we saw quite a bit of it. 25 assists, 44 field goals, 25 of them assisted. Bucks led by Dame Lillard, 13 of those 25 assists, including our assist of the game, brought to you by Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin. Their health network connects you to teams of world-renowned specialists who focus entirely on you. That's doing everything humanly possible to provide expert care for your world. 128-112, our final score in Toronto. The Bucks get past the Raptors. And now another in-season tournament game. We'll get you your play of the game, preview that matchup, and get you caught up on the NBA scoreboard after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field. What the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislature are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
The owner of a Michigan rental that's called The Castle is being sued by a group of seven women who stayed there, found it consumed with bats.
Tell the best part, though.
The exterminator allegedly found multiple inches of bat guano kicking the floor.
I think I just threw up a little bit. Oh, my God.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
EMJ.
16-point road win for the Bucks in Toronto. They take down the Raptors 128-112. And again, big game from Malik Beasley, who scores 30 points and knocks down 8 three-pointers. And Damian Lillard, start to finish, a tremendous game for Dame. 9 of 18 from the field, 4 of 10 on his threes, 37 points, 13 assists, and 4 rebounds for Dame Lillard as the Bucks breeze past. For the most part, I should say, it did get a little tense towards the end, but the Bucks leave with a double-digit win, 128-112. Time for a play of the game brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. We mentioned the big shooting night from Malik Beasley. He gave the Bucks a big basket going into the half to build that lead up to 23. Our play of the game.
The inbound pass to Lillard. Got to work quickly now with 2 seconds left. Feeds it ahead. Beasley fires up the three at the horn, and he kisses it in. Count that bad boy. You know you are living right when you hit shots like that. Malik Beasley, 4 three-pointers in the first half, and none more scintillating than that one.
You would add 4 more in the second half to finish with 8 on the night and a buzzer-beater 3 to send the Bucks into the half up 23. Our play of the game brought to you by Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. Find your win at the Midwest's premier gaming, entertainment, and hotel destination. All of that and more waiting for you at Pottawatomie Hotel and Casino. When we come back, we'll take a look at the NBA scoreboard and preview Friday night as the in-season tournament resumes for the Bucks. They head to Charlotte for a group play matchup with the Hornets. We'll give you the lowdown after this on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
The Todd Almost Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Almost Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
OpUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Wrapping things up on the BMO Bucks Radio Network, I'm Justin Garcia. Bucks beat the Raptors tonight, 128-112, behind 37 from Damian Lillard and 30 from Malik Beasley, in the first career start as well for Andre Jackson Jr., as the Bucks get past the Raptors with Giannis sidelined from this game. So we will see what Giannis' status is for Friday night as the in-season tournament resumes when the Bucks take on the Charlotte Hornets in group play. And also one of the questions you heard asked to Adrian Griffin as well is the status of Chris Middleton. That is another back-to-back. Friday night in Charlotte, Saturday night at home against Luka Doncic, Kyrie Irving, and the Dallas Mavericks. So that's what's in front of the Bucks. Before we do step out, let's first get you caught up on the NBA scoreboard. 7 other games on your NBA schedule this evening, and we have seen all but 3 of those go final. So starting with those final scores, first up in Atlanta, the New York Knicks take down the Atlanta Hawks 116-114. Behind a near triple-double from Julius Randle, 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 8 assists for the Knicks forward. Game of the night on paper took place in Philadelphia, where the Boston Celtics even the season series between them and the 76ers with a 117-110 victory. Boston is now 9-2, tops in the Eastern Conference. The 76ers fall to 8-3. Second place currently in the East. Joel Embiid had 20 points but finished the game a minus 25, while Jason Tatum scored 29 in the win. In Chicago, Bulls came back to make this close despite trailing by 17 at halftime. They only scored 33 points in the first half. They would add 61 in the final 24 minutes and fall just short, losing to the Orlando Magic 96-94. Goga Batase with 15 points and 11 rebounds for the Magic, while Alex Caruso, one of those many interesting names to keep an eye on here in the upcoming weeks and months, finished with 16 for the Bulls. There are 3 games in action as we speak. The first of those is in Phoenix, where the Suns are blowing out the Timberwolves. 90-70 is the score there. Midway through the third quarter, Devin Booker already up to 26 points for the Suns. Headed to the second quarter in Los Angeles, the Kings lead the Lakers 38-25. Domantas Sabonis with 10 points and 7 rebounds in the opening quarter. And also headed to the second quarter in Portland, Cavaliers up 5 on the Trailblazers, 30-25. Cleveland, by the way, just 4-6 on the season. For our audience, it's in Milwaukee. A reminder, our extended postgame show continues. As we wrap this up, we invite you to stick around on the flagship station, WTMJ, for the extended postgame show, Bucks Talk. We'll take your calls, your texts, take a look at that matchup with the Charlotte Hornets on Friday night, and dive into some of the defensive numbers we've seen from this team of late, specifically from Brooke Lopez, who, by the way, blocked 7 more shots tonight. We'll get into it on Bucks Talk as soon as we wrap things up here. For the rest of you, our next game broadcast will be Friday night as the in-season tournament resumes. It's the Bucks in Charlotte for their second of 4 games in group play. They take on those Hornets, and it's a 6 o'clock tip-off. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage with Dave Kane and myself begins. Also, take a closer look at the in-season tournament on Bucks Talk coming up here, and specifically the standings for the group the Bucks are in, because you only play 4 games. You figure you got to go at least 3-1 to win your group, and point differential is going to be important. So we'll take a look at all of that. But the in-season tournament resumes for the Bucks Friday night in Charlotte. 6 o'clock tip-off. 5:30 is when our pregame coverage begins on these airwaves. For Dave Kane out in, for Dave Kane calling the game tonight, I should say, and for our studio crew here, our engineer Jason Gordon and our producer Matt Sossler, I'm Justin Garcia signing off, reminding you we will talk once again Friday night from Charlotte with more Bucks basketball right back here on the BMO Bucks Radio Network.
Disabled or an elderly Medicare beneficiary with questions about Part D prescription benefits? The Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline is here for you. Ask about saving money on your Part D premium, deductible, and co-pays. Call the Disability Rights Wisconsin Medicare Part D Helpline anytime. 1-800-926-4862. 1-800-926-4862. Medicare's annual open enrollment runs October 15th through December 7th.
Jay.
So we could, but would that be a good thing? To have a president elected with, you know, a third of the vote, which means two-thirds of the people didn't want him?
Well, under our system, it's a tough question to answer. Is it a good thing? Probably not. But under our system, we also always tend to say, is it a good thing that somebody lost or lost the popular vote by X amount of millions, but became the president because of Electoral College. Yeah. So we're right back to that argument too.
No, good
just
point.
In bigger numbers.
Yeah, yeah. How can you lose an election by 7 right. million votes and still win?
Exactly. And it's because we have an Electoral College, which goes back to the whole debate of the Electoral College, why it was created, because of small states, on and on and on, you know. Yeah. And then with 3 people, it intensifies that argument, I think. So, yes, to answer your question, it would be a tough sale because this time the bigger majority of the country doesn't want, even through the Electoral College system, technically. So, yes, it would be tough.
Yeah, I mean, but a lot of weird things going on. A lot of weird things. I mean, I'm looking at the McCarthy dust up yesterday. And you've got, you know, Ken Buck, the Republican from Colorado, who has jumped in, siding with Tim Burchett, you know, saying that Kevin McCarthy and lying are like peanut butter and jelly. And I'm going, it kind of reminds me of Forrest Gump. Me and Jenna, we're together like peas and carrots. Yeah, it's just one of those, seriously, is this the best we've got? Is this the best we've got, Bob?
Well, also, here's another thing that kind of gets me about Burchett. Congressman from Tennessee who got, quote, elbowed in the kidney. Now, I read in the article, it was outside room HC5. I am extremely familiar with HC5. Any member of Congress that served there is familiar with HC5 on a Republican side particular. You come out of the doors of HC5, there's a set of small steps. It's a crowded area. And when you go out of there, you go out in a herd. It is very, very possible that, of course, it should be on camera somewhere, but it's very possible that McCarthy went out of there and went by him. Couple of things. If he got, you know, the big kidney punch that he, Burchett, that he thought he got, did he go down to the House physician's office? By the way, little open secret. I love to tell him on your show. There is a House physician's office. It's run by the Navy. The Admiral's the head of it. And members can go down there and get x-rays and see physicians, you know, anytime they're in the Capitol. So did he go down because it was such a severe, you know, McCarthy gave him such a severe kidney hit? Now, on top of all of this, the question I have is this. If he was hit in the kidney, all right, why is Matt Gaetz filing the ethics charge on McCarthy? Burchett has to have his guy, you know, Gaetz has to file the charge. If you were, if you and I were Burchett and we got kidney punch, we'd have stopped, you know, grabbed the back of the coat of McCarthy and said, hey, buddy, come here for a second. That's what would have happened. But why would you not go to, if you were Burchett, to Gaetz and say, hey, I'm the one that got kidney punched. I'll file the ethics charge.
Yeah, I don't need you fighting my battles for me.
Right. What's this all about? You know, Matt Gaetz wants to, because Matt Gaetz has got his own ethics charges, obviously, you know. And I'm going to go back to Justin Trudeau. I watched the tape many, many times this week. Justin Trudeau did elbow a female member of Parliament of Canada. And I'm convinced Justin Trudeau had, and he's not on the top of my favorite list, by the way, but I'm convinced he did not know he elbowed her. I'm convinced. I watched the tape over and over and over. So, you know, I wasn't there. Nobody's seen a camera thing on this, but it just doesn't add up when you start to have Matt Gaetz going to file the ethics charge for Burchett. Is Burchett incapable of actually doing that? You know, is he, you know, somebody that's incapable of filing an ethics charge?
Yeah.
It just doesn't add up, the whole thing. Drama. Drama.
It's just crazy where we are. Also, another Republican legislator from Louisiana, a guy named Clay Higgins, evidently he claimed during a House hearing that the FBI has something called ghost buses. Have you heard of ghost buses before? Because the FBI director said he didn't know what a ghost bus was.
I've seen the movie.
No, that's Ghostbusters.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant Ghostbusters.
No. Ghost buses. Well, they're evidently secret purpose buses for nefarious stuff. Completely hush hush.
They're paranormal vehicles. paranormal. That's kind of amazing that we think the FBI is so capable that they actually can have paranormal buses now.
Yeah.
Why do they say, where do they come up with this?
See, this is the thing that I love when I talk to you, because I agree with you. There is so much that the right believes our government is capable of, and that we're just not that organized.
No. The government is not capable of these sophisticated things. They just aren't. You can go back into the whole history of the intel agencies and go back in their history, and you see what huge mistakes, you know, they have made. I mean, they can't even call it correctly. So to think that they're capable of actually doing some of these things is absolutely amazing. It's the latest form of political entertainment. That's what it is.
Yeah, I got to get your thought on immigration. Evidently, Greg Abbott is going to sign a bill allowing him in Texas to deport migrants. So we're gonna throw. I guess we're gonna have the papers please law back, where if you don't have your papers, they're gonna deport people from the country. Is that in the purview of a governor and state law?
Well, it's not going to be able to be held constitutional.
Are you sure?
The Texas House approved the bill, which would make it a state misdemeanor, is what they're doing, to cross into Texas. so, that would allow Texas law enforcement to arrest the undocumented immigrants, and then that law, what they're saying, would require the state judge to order the person to go to Mexico in lieu of prosecution. So they're saying you're going to be charged with a misdemeanor. You can go to Mexico. We won't charge you. But if the person doesn't go to Mexico, then they're charged with the misdemeanor. And so they'll go through a court process, but I don't think they can be deported. And I'll tell you why. And this is a case that baffled me. But in Ross County, Ohio, Chillicothe, Ohio, when I was a congressman for Ross County, I got a phone call from the union. And they said, hey, 20 illegals have crossed our picket line. And they said the sheriff's letting them go. I called the sheriff. And he said, unfortunately, you know, I am. I've arrested them. I called immigration. So I called immigration the next day, and I'm like, what are you doing? And the guy that answered, Bush administration, his name was Gutierrez, and he said, yes, if they have not committed a felony crime, I'm saying let them go. So I went through that, you know. I didn't like it, crossing a union picket line, you know,
yeah,
et cetera. But the local sheriff who arrested them couldn't hold the charge because the Fed said no. Now, sometimes the Fed says deport them. It's the mood of the Fed, you know, of the executive. You know how it runs. And that's why we need a comprehensive bill instead of presidents deciding one month this and the next month that.
No, you're right.
So I just don't see, I'm not a constitutional scholar, but the way they're, now it's very interesting how they crafted this law, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's all up to you. You could either go to jail or,
yes,
or it's like in the old days when, you know, like, well, because my uncle's generation, they're about, you know, 15, 20 years older than me. He's like, you know, you could either go to jail or join the military. This is kind of that.
Right. Now, Mexico says it rejects the Texas proposal. So then now you've got another whole, you know, complex piece of the puzzle. Now, if they can find other crimes of the person coming in, then they could make that, you know, maybe go to a felony, which would be a different case. But yeah, the way this is running, you would say, no, I don't want to go back. So, okay. How long is the jail sentence? You know, it's a misdemeanor. Okay. Put me in for, you know, 30 days, give me some meals and I'll be on my way.
Three hots and a cot. Yeah.
Yeah. So I just see this as more of a publicity piece for the governor than anything else, really. It's not enforceable federally.
We'll see what comes out of it. But Bob, as always, I appreciate the thoughts. Good stuff as always.
Thank you.
Our good friend Bob Ney. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Gonna take a quick break. Right back to wrap things up. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two. On this day in labor history, the year was 1881. That was the day that trade unionists held the founding convention of the Federation of Trades and Labor Unions in Pittsburgh. This group later changed its name to the American Federation of Labor. During the 1880s, it grew to replace the Knights of Labor as the most powerful labor union organization in the United States. The Federation of Trades and Labor Unions, and later the American Federation of Labor, were dedicated to the principles of craft unionism. Unions were organized by crafts, so workers with different jobs at the same workplace would belong to different unions. The Federation of Trades and Labor Unions focused on gaining collective bargaining rights, and with it, better wages, benefits, and working conditions for its members. The creation of this federation marked a turning point in workers' struggles to improve their working conditions.
However, not all workers or labor leaders were supportive of the idea of craft unionism. For example, Eugene V. Debs started the American Railway Union because he did not think the specific craft railway unions were an effective way to build worker solidarity in the industry. He wanted a union of all railroad workers, as opposed to unions divided by job description. Nevertheless, the Federation of Trades and Labor Unions and the American Federation of Labor showed that workers could band together. By doing so, they could fight for a better standard of living and a better future for themselves and their families. The Federation of Trades and Labor Unions proclaimed that their goal was to organize a systematic agitation to propagate trades unions' principles, to elevate trades unionism, and to obtain for the working classes that respect for their rights and that reward for their services to which they are justly entitled. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
So, not so good news. Evidently, our trust in science as a country is falling. A new poll out by the Pew folks shows that 57% of Americans say science has had a mostly positive effect on society. That's down 8 percentage points from November of 2021 and 16 points down before the start of the pandemic. That's a problem. That's a problem when you have people who don't believe in science. And I actually met a flat earther, which I thought was just incredible, because they truly believe the Earth's flat. And I'm going, you know, did we not figure? Never mind. Also, looks like Truth Social is in trouble. It's facing, quote, substantial doubt about the future. It's been burning through tens of millions of dollars in operating costs, according to a new filing. And I've been saying for a while, it's been propped up by, by right wing money, I think, just to give Trump a platform that everyone reports on. And I've been always saying, just ignore what he says. Nobody's on Truth Social. Nobody. Well, there are a couple of cranks and crazy people, but if you don't report on it. It's that whole thing about the bear in the woods. look, nobody knows. It doesn't happen. And finally, I got a lot of responses to the Mark Wayne Mullen thing. And Mark Wayne was on Fox, and he said that he was nobly representing the good folks of Oklahoma with what he called Oklahoma values. When he challenged the Teamster president to a fight there, he said, quote, what did people want me to do? If I didn't do that, people in Oklahoma would be pretty upset at me. I don't think so. I don't think people in Oklahoma would care about your petty little squabble. I think what they should care about are all the things that Sean O'Brien and Sean Fain and our friend Sarah Nelson, what they were talking about, how to make your constituents, how to make their lives better. I mean, that to me, kind of an important thing, not some petty 12-year-old clown show from a U.S. senator. I mean, this is the thing that gets me. This guy is a sitting U.S. senator. The Senate is supposed to be the upper chamber. I get it in the House. I get if you walk by somebody with an elbow them in the kidney, okay, I get that. But the Senate is supposed to be where the adults are. Children are in the House, the rages of the people, all that stuff. But the Senate, you're supposed to be above that. I think Bernie Sanders, tried to get him to think like that, but no. He was representing Oklahoma values. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. If I were advising him, and the way things used to work, is you go about it like this, because O'Brien did put out a tweet, say, anytime tough guy or anytime cowboy, I think is what it was. If you're advising Mullen, and if I were, what I would have said is, look, you're a professional MMA fighter. This is so below you. You're a sitting U.S. senator. This is so below you. Grow up. That should have been the line. But no. We've got to go to the child route, which again is another reason why a lot of the people who are representing us shouldn't be. And he's one of them. Want to hear your thoughts? Email me, rick@therickSmithShow.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to The Rick Smith Show. Email Rick. At rick@therickSmithShow.com. Until next.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. ABC.